When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sins. You put down all the talent that hit you out of the ground. Don't ask one. It was Karen and Joe.
In a week where Steve Smith chose to knock himself out rather than play a T20 series nobody cares about, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Look now. I can't wait to get going with the Look Now Super Giants. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm very excited. To all the fans that have sent messages, a big thank you. I promise I'll give 100%.
That was Mark Wood there. You're here with Cat Jones and Dan Lipke. And Mark Wood has been snaffled by the Super Giants, a new IPL franchise.
Yeah, fantastic. And, of course, he was doing one of the more entertaining welcomes to all of the cricketers that have been snaffled by various teams have done a little tiny little piece to camera for the fans of the various IPL franchises. Yeah.
I love how he just goes, look now.
Look now. But also, if you go to the video of it, he's doing a kind of a little looking away from the camera, looking into the camera as well.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It is very funny. Good work, Mark Wood.
Yes, he was purchased for approximately $1.4 million Australian by Lucknow. Or to be more precise, he was purchased for $400,000 and his imaginary horse sold for the other $1
million.
Good work, Mark Wood.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
So lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we have just time to cover the IPL auction.
Yes, the IPL mega auction.
Yes.
Not just an ordinary IPL auction. This is a mega auction.
Yep, because nearly everyone was up for grabs and they all swapped. Lots of people swapped sides.
Yeah.
We're not going to go through the tedious details of it all, except to say that Glenn Maxwell was not put up for auction.
No, they thought he had a good enough season last year that they decided to keep him.
Which means that RCB remains our team
for this season. Team. Yes. So the reason I think they had the mega auction was because there are two new teams in the squad. Mm. So to make it fair, it's just like everybody's got to discard all but three or four players.
Yep.
And then we start the bidding all over again. So what are the two new teams?
So the other one is the Gujarat Titans and the Lucknow Super
the
Giants.
Lucknow. Yeah, it's good, really, really good to see a Super Giants franchise
Absolutely,
back.
Absolutely, definitely.
Yes. How did the Australians go in terms of the auction?
Well, there were a few unsold. Mm. There was also a few taking a bit of a pay cut.
Mm.
I think Pat Cummins and Dave Warner both had a bit shaved off their contracts.
Yeah, lost about $1 million each, was a bit disappointing for them.
I think it goes on performance, right? So Dave Warner didn't have a fabulous season.
Well, Dave Warner ended up being axed from Sunrise, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. And Pat Cummins, I mean, he had a good season when he was there, and then he just chose to go home. Yeah. So I guess
so some pitiful excuse about having a baby or something.
Yeah, and having COVID.
Yeah.
I guess that's fairly realistic. Although there were other players that frankly aren't even going to be playing who sold for over $1 million as well.
Yeah, I think my favourite one of those was Jofra Archer. Jofra Archer got himself a cool $1.5 million. He's not playing. not going to play.
Still do a lot of media for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it would still be worth it, right?
Definitely.
Having him doing a lot of media.
Yeah. And of course, they'll be able to retain him for the following seasons, which I think was the main consideration.
Fantastic. But there were a few unsold. I mean, Labuschagne remains unsold at this point.
Yeah, I think
he may be sold by the time you listen to this podcast.
Yeah, at this stage, I'm not sure whether it's all finalised or not yet, but Labuschagne, Finch and Smith are all unsold.
I think it depends whether they've spent all their money.
Yeah, and Adam Zampa wasn't sold either.
Shakib Al Hassan.
Yes.
And Matty Wade was unsold for a minute, but he was eventually sold.
We did enjoy Matty Wade put himself up at the top price, right?
Yeah, he put himself at the maximum 2 crore base price, which is just under 400,000 Australian.
Yeah.
What a pop him up at the maximum price. What confidence from Matty Wade.
Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. I think I theorised that it was basically, I don't really care if I go or not, but if I'm going to go, I want to be paid a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
So I'll start at the maximum and then we'll work from there.
It's a good theory, and the Gujarat Titans have got him for over the price. I mean, they've ended up paying 446,000 Australian. I don't know what that was in crore. They also took another keeper, Ridhiman Saha, who was unsold at the start. And so they've got two keepers. So I'll be interested to see, because I love following Matty Wade.
Well, Matthew Wade, you don't need to play him as a keeper. You can play
as a batter. Yeah. But he's an international too. So you want to have a local keeper and an international keeper on your side. It's a pretty good combination. We have no idea how these teams are going to go.
No.
Because everyone's been juggled so consistently.
Yeah.
But are you a bit sorry for Cummins and Warner having to lose some money?
Yeah, it's a little bit sad for them. Maybe we should start a Kickstarter or something, see if we can get them a couple of $1 million to share between them.
Yeah. So I haven't had a close look at the RCB, our team, but I know there's at least another couple of Aussies, right? Hazelwood's there.
Josh Hazelwood has joined, so that'll be good for Glenn to have a friend there. I'm sure he's got non-Australian friends as well, but have one that he's hung around with in the Australian team.
Yeah.
And I think there's a few others, but I've completely lost track of them. But Australia's best T20 cricketer is apparently not any of the names we've mentioned so far.
Yep.
Australia's best T20 cricketer is Tim David, the man with two first names.
Yep.
And he was eventually sold for $1.53 million Australian to Mumbai Indians.
Oh, that is such a great story, and other people have been reporting on it extensively. So we're just going to mention that he put himself up for a low price, the opposite strategy to Matty Wade.
Yep.
Started at 40 lakh, which is only about 75,000 Australian. So good on him.
Yeah, well done to Tim David.
Yep, and then scrambling afterwards, his team Hobart said, oh, we better offer him a BBL contract, they're quick smart, because they were worried someone else would snap him up.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. I also like the Delhi Capitals having a solid top four with some Australians there. Warner's with them now.
Yep.
Shaw, Marsh and Punt.
That's a fun team, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. What else caught our eye at the auction?
Well, I mean, everyone's been talking about this too, the strange IPL moment where the auctioneer Hugh Edmeads collapsed with low blood pressure at one point, and gloriously Charu Sharma was summoned to take over. He has such a beautiful voice. Yep. He's a commentator. We've heard him more often as a commentator. Apparently he's got auction experience.
Oh, well, it certainly seemed to be the case, because he just slips so smoothly into the role.
Oh, he was very smooth.
He was running late in traffic at one point, we heard reports of, but it didn't seem to bother him. He showed up.
Because of course there wasn't a backup there. There's no third auctioneer.
Yeah.
He got the call up from home, where apparently he was at home recovering from a sprain after falling over. Otherwise, he would have been out working somewhere.
All right. So he'd fallen over as well. So it wasn't just what's with these auctioneers all falling over?
That's right. They don't look where they're going, perhaps. How did they select this auctioneer? Well, we were hoping it was an auction, based on him demanding some massive fee.
Yeah, he'll
base price.
Much like Tim David, he'll go for squillions in the next IPL auctioneer and beggar auction. I think.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think
good idea. And, yes. well, he was probably the best buy, right, of the IPL auction.
And I think you particularly enjoyed his kind of annoyance when there were no bids on any players.
Well, we knew he was going to be annoyed, because as he was starting off the auction, he was, well, where are the bids? I can wait a bit longer. I do like this player. And so we knew he was going to be...
Yes, he had his own opinions on players too, didn't he?
We knew he was going to be devastated when finally someone didn't get snaffled, and it was... who was it? Muhammad Nabi.
Muhammad Nabi, yes.
And he's like, 100 lakhs? Nobody? Nobody? I can wait all day. Oh, he was really cranky. Yeah. Eventually, Nabi was sold, right?
Yeah, he went to KKR. He was passed on the first round, but he's got back in again. So I'm sure Charu Sharma will be very happy about that.
Yeah, well, Hugh Edmedzo, of course, says, unsold. But beautifully, Sharma says, he has been passed. Yeah, that's good too. So yeah. I also like my favourite moment though was when he was asking the various teams who had bid on somebody if they were good for the money.
Yes, yeah, that was very funny. I think it was Mumbai, right?
Yeah, he was doing it frequently. Are you good for the money? Not so much that they could have, you know, that they were actually going to pay or not default on the money, but whether or not they were going to nod for the next highest bid. Mm. But it was still a lovely turn of phrase.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, so this episode of the podcast is unusually sponsored by not anything we're involved with. It's another podcast. So friend of the podcast, Dave Tickner, and brother of friend of the podcast, Mick Tickner, have started a new podcast. This one's about cricket cliches, and it's called Ahead of the Eight Ball, right?
Yeah. Well, it's sometimes called that.
So sometimes it's also called Behind the Eight Ball. So the first episode is called Behind the Eight Ball because that's what they originally were going to call it.
Yep.
And then they had to change the name to Ahead of the Eight Ball.
Is that presumably because there's like five or six snooker podcasts that are already called the other?
I think they're just trying to confuse as many people as possible. But try not to be confused. You can
try and get ahead of the eight ball.
Yes. Get ahead of the eight ball by going to aoteb.podbean.com, and that's where you can find links to this podcast. You can search for it on usual podcast providers, but I don't think they've got it up on all of them yet. So start at that Podbean link.
And of course, it's their best episode yet, their first one.
First one, best one.
Best one to date.
Yes.
And I also like the fact that brother or friend of the podcast, you'd almost qualified for a blood versus water survivor entry on that basis.
Yes. We look forward to challenging them next time. And so, yes, as we mentioned, we're not involved with this one yet, although we would, we'll see how
Danny's angling to be involved.
Definitely.
When's the short ball coming?
Short ball obviously plays a huge part.
Get yourself to play the short ball. The worst thing to do,
play the short ball.
Or you're playing the short ball.
Yeah, we're going to talk about playing the short ball.
All right, so here's our short ball segment. Thank you, KP. This is where we take a closer look at a particular recent delivery from a recent match. And this time around, we're looking at the second last ball of the 20th over of Sri Lanka's run chase against Australia in the second T20 of the five-game series. The one that Steve Smith knocked himself out of rather than continue taking part in.
The sneaky five-game series.
Yes.
Have we had an update on Steve Smith?
He's not playing the rest of the series. He's concussed, and as a precaution, they're just saying, all right, no one really cares about this series. Have a rest.
Mm, yes. Good idea.
So this ball is Stoinis to Thikshana with Sri Lanka needing six runs off two balls to win. And Sri Lanka have pretty much come from nowhere to be in this game. At one point, they needed 46 off the last three overs, and then some big hitting off the third last over and the second last over. Got it down to 19 off the last over to be
Yeah, Hasaranga was just sending them into the stands. They were hitting far more sixes than Australia hit.
It was got very exciting at the end. And most importantly, Sri Lanka deciding that they were going to surge back into the contest, shut up all the commentators who were just droning on endlessly about the IPL auction. That was very tedious. So good work from Sri Lanka for getting back into it. So how did Stoinis' last over go?
Well, first he bowled wide, which is always very exciting when you're doing some death bowling. And he's trying to get it in the channel outside off.
Yep.
And he's bowled wide. And then the next one went for four.
Yes.
So it was a good start. It was a very good start. And then there was somehow a fire alarm went off in the stands. We all thought it was, some of us thought it was a no ball.
Yeah, we were all been trained by the IPL auction or the IPL that no ball, a siren means there's been a no ball. So, my God. But no.
Everyone else thought that was hilarious. But if you've watched enough IPL, it's really quite sensible.
It's Pavlovian. It's just like siren, someone's just bowled a siren, must be a no ball. Yes.
And
then I think Nisanka was out to a skied ball in the outfield. Mm. And this one was almost a no ball as well because it was perilously close to waist high.
It was definitely a high full toss.
Yeah, I think if Sri Lanka had bowled it to Australia and had been tight, I think the third umpire might have come back and said, nah, that's a no ball based on precedent this summer.
Mm.
But instead it was called... a fair delivery.
Yep. And then Thig Shankar was the new batter.
Yeah, so they needed 12 off three balls at this stage.
We're not at the short ball yet, but we're not building quite up to it. And this was the one that he hit for six, but in the process, Steve Smith tried to knock it back and landed with his head on the outfield.
Yep, so that's kind of next level batting there from Thig Shankar. He not only scored six runs, he knocked out one of Australia's better batters for the next three matches.
Oh, yes.
So he's not just playing to win this match, he's playing to win the entire series.
Yeah, he should have been man of the series, definitely, perhaps, for that.
Yeah, and that brings us finally to the actual short ball, which is Stoinis to Thig Shankar again. And is this a short ball?
It's a wide ball. It's another wide ball. So he's again trying to get it in the channel. And, what did they need at this point? They needed a six, really.
They needed six runs off two balls.
Yep. And so this wide, though, bounced on the line.
Yeah.
And then kind of kept moving away.
So I think it bounced in line with the line when it first bounced, but it was still, in front of the crease at that point. So by the time it actually went past the crease, it was definitely outside the line. But somehow the umpire didn't call it.
Yeah. As it passed the batter, it was outside the line. And anyway, Sri Lanka did not review it. I don't even know if they could have, could they?
I'm not sure they're allowed to actually review a wide. They should be, though. I think you should be allowed to review anything on the cricket field. If you've got a review up a hand. You should be able to say, no, we reckon that's a wide.
Yeah.
Have another look at that one, umpires.
It was pretty dodgy. But anyway, that sent the game to a super over. So the second tie for us for the day. We've already had a tie in junior cricket.
Yeah, so they needed, they got a bye off that non-called wide, which meant they needed four off the final ball for a super over or a six to win it. And they ended up hitting that four. So yes, it was a tie. I did enjoy at Cricket Flog on Twitter, who, as the last ball was about to be bowled, said, bowl underarm, you coward.
Yes.
So come on, Stoinis.
Yeah.
So Australia ended up winning the super over.
Yeah.
Josh Hazlewood conceded a miserly five runs. RCB's Josh Hazlewood, five runs.
But the most exciting thing about this match, though, was earlier, actually, and it wasn't a short ball, but it was four overs from the wonderful new bowler, Nuwan Thushara, who got his cap in this match.
Yes.
Got his cap from Malinga, and he bowls just like Malinga.
Do you think he bowls like him because he got the cap from him? Is that Malinga's power? Is Malinga's power just transferred via cap to
previously
other
bowlers? Previously, he was a left-handed.
Left-arm orthodox spinner.
Yeah, that's right. But now, anyway, he took one for 40 from his four overs. Yeah. It was a good debut.
Okay start, yeah.
It doesn't quite sum up the gloriousness of his wonderful slinging and how wonderful he was to watch. So.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was good. Any other highlights in that match?
Both Steve Smith and Glenn Maxwell managed to run out batters with direct hits from outside the circle, which was pretty impressive. Just these frenetic, these frenetic final overs, they threw it from a long way away and hit the stumps.
Yep.
That was very exciting. Maxwell pretty much had to do something spectacular in the field because he dropped two catches, which, while challenging for an average human being, should pretty easily have been taken by Glenn Maxwell.
He usually would take catches like that with an ice cream in the other hand. But,
definitely.
Not this time.
Yes. And I guess the other thing I'm enjoying about this series is that I had to write a preview of this for the ABC Cricket Magazine back before the World Cup last year.
So really?
I've been waiting for this series for like five
months
or something.
What did you predict back then?
I think I predicted that Mitchell Stark would be playing, which he wasn't, so that's a shame. But in general, I think my predictions are okay. I predicted Hasaranga would be playing and would be a threat, and a few other Sri Lankan speedsters. And I think the other thing, as we mentioned, was that it's not been the most popular of series of the summer.
Well, I don't think anyone knows it's on.
Well, it's not being shown on free-to-air TV. Yeah, so it's just on pay TV. And the second match, this one that went to the Super Over, had a crowd of 6,305, which I assume they just mistook it for a Sheffield Shield match and thought, we're not showing up.
Yes, possibly. Anyway, go to the next one, people.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's admirable in its way that Australia fans are sticking with their apathy about T20 internationals. The Australians have never really loved it. And just because we win a T20 World Cup, we're not going to change our attitude.
Yeah.
So no fair weather fandom from Australian fans.
I can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
Here we are in the Moeller Award for underappreciated acts in cricket this week. And we're going to nominate Stuart Broad, one of our favourites, who apparently is furious about not being selected, or continues to be furious.
So I think he was a nominee last week for
being furious?
For not being selected. Or maybe the ECB was a nominee last week.
Yes, maybe.
But we've switched it now to Stuart because he's still furious. He wrote his column. And I think my favourite quote in the column was, I took 11 wickets in the final two Ashes matches. I have been test match standard for a long time. And for the last 8 years, you could say world class. So good modesty there from Stuart Broad.
He needs to settle a bit because he's going to be a fabulous commentator, provided he doesn't do a Shane Warne on us and all he ever mentions is how he was unfairly dropped from the test side every time he commentates.
Yeah.
So we need to get him back on side, I think, before he moves into his commentary career.
Yes, definitely. So, hopefully he'll re-emerge. But based on, I think it's a little bit unfair. I can almost, not quite, but almost understand them saying, all right, Jimmy Anderson, you're 39 years old. Maybe we'll move on. Poor old Stuart Broad's just 35 and he's just been lumped in the same basket as being exactly the same. So
yeah, they're not joined. You don't have to select them and deselect them at the same time.
Yes. And I do like the idea that Stuart Broad might go screaming at the selectors, you know, stop moving the goalposts.
Stop moving the robots.
Or maybe stop moving the stumps.
Yeah, something.
But it is a bit unfair for him. But it feels like he probably has been yelling in the background there.
he may well have been. He may not be the most easy person to deal with.
Maybe it's maybe Jimmy Anderson's the one who wrangles him.
Maybe. Maybe, yes.
According to your screenplay, that would be the case.
Mm.
So who else are we nominating?
Poor old Will Pekoski, I think, has got to be nominated for
Muller. Oh, God, has he been hit in the head again?
He has been, yeah. So he had to be subbed out of the Sheffield Shield match with concussion. And everyone kind of leapt to the obvious conclusion that he'd been, you know, hit in the head by a ball in the nets or something. Turns out that wasn't the case. He somehow managed to kick a volleyball into his own head during the warm-up give himself a concussion. So while the concussion bit's not funny, the fact that he managed to do it by kicking a volleyball into his own head seems very strange. And I think for his own health, Will Pekoski must retire from volleyball. It's just no good for him. And if he won't do it, I think Volleyball Australia must step in and say, no more, Will.
Yep. I feel like he's also not quite knowing what to do with a volleyball might be a problem.
You don't head them.
You shouldn't be kicking them. Yep. You shouldn't be doing any of that stuff with a volleyball.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, not good for poor old Will Pekoski. So I think people are looking now, maybe saying, maybe just take a break from all sport for a year or two. And I think Dan Bredick on Twitter pointed out today that even if he took a couple of years off and just maybe kept his hand in with a little bit of grade cricket and, you know, went to uni, did the kind of things that Pat Cummins did for a few years while he was, you know, had chronic injury issues, then maybe Will Pekoski could sort himself out and maybe come back and he'd still only be 25 in a couple of years' time. He's a baby. So
yeah.
So maybe just relax and take your time and recover, Will.
That would be good. So we've got another nomination here for Ben Stokes.
Yes.
This is my favourite nomination, I think. I'm going early on it. Ben F.T. Stokes,
yes,
right?
Yes, Ben F.T. Stokes, who has, as the name would mention, got himself into the NFT. He's done a lot of research on this and people are being a little bit upset about him, and that's
because most people hate the NFTs,
yes,
right?
Yes,
and it's popular to hate them, right?
And it's something that Ben somehow didn't discover, didn't realize that people were so upset about NFTs. Mm. But he did this very very cranky tweet, and he said, "If you think I'm quote," and he actually, I think one of my favorite bits about this tweet is he said, "If you think I'm quote," and then in quote marks, put scamming people.
If you think I'm quote scamming people quote.
Yeah, by saying thanks to a company for creating something that, all caps, I myself thinks is cool, then you got it, all caps, so wrong. What I will say is if you put 6 months of research into this space like me, you would probably think different.
Huh.
So he's put a lot of research into it.
And it sounds like he should be playing more cricket if he's got that much time for researching NFTs.
Yes. As one of our friends on Twitter, 127J_H, said, LOL at Ben Stokes' six-month deep dive into NFTs, not preparing him for some people don't like NFTs.
Indeed. Yes. And I wonder, I want to know which ones he's bought. I mean, he's clearly bought some. He's vested interest in not just his own NFTs doing well, but I reckon he's bought some other people.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
You know,
maybe he bought that one last week of Danny White proposing to Virat Kohli.
Could be. Or the one of Botham.
Yes. Yes, all-rounder to all-rounder. Great England all-rounder, yes. Yep.
He would think that was funny, that one.
Yeah, probably, yes. Mm. And I've got one more late-breaking Muller nomination. This is from the Pakistan Super League. So this is the last ball of the Islamabad United v Karachi Kings match. And Karachi need 2 to win and 1 to tie. And Chris Jordan is on strike. And he hits the ball straight back to the bowler. It's lofted back to the bowler, who somehow manages to drop a relatively easy caught and bowled, which is a little bit embarrassing for him. But this is Waqas Maqsood, the bowler. And he somehow manages, despite this clumsy drop, to scramble after the ball, pick it up, and then run Jordan out before Jordan can reach the other end. So Islamabad United win by 1 run.
Huh.
And Waqas Maqsood costs himself a forfeit in the process, though.
I thought this was heading in a direction of him pinging down the stumps, missing, and then losing the match.
Yeah. No, he won the match, so that good work.
Oh, phew.
So he dropped the catch, still won the match with a run out.
Excellent. But nowhere near as funny as perhaps losing the match completely.
No, I think that's reserved. I think Stuart Broad famously did that once in a T20 World Cup. So,
and we can't have 2 Stuart Broad nominations.
We can't, definitely can't, yes.
But who's going to win? Who do you think is winning out of those four?
So you've got Ben F.T. Stokes.
Oh, I like Ben F.T. Stokes.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think it's a bit cruel to give it to poor old Will Pekoski for being hit in
or
the head.
Or Stuart
again.
Broad.
Yeah, Stuart Broad's got enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's give it to Ben F.T. Stokes. Congratulations, Ben. You got an NFT of this exact moment in our podcast. We'll NFTify it and sell it to you for $1.5 million.
I dare you to send him one and see if he adds it to his collection.
I'll do that if I can ever work out how to do it. But I think that wraps it up for this week. You've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Leib Cricket on Twitter.
And Kat Jones at CricketBatCat.
And you can follow us on at Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook. You can go to can'tbowlcan'tthrow.com. Track us down somewhere on the internet, and we will see you all again next week.
Bye.